This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, August 20th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a report on how many people have stopped growing so much grass and are planting food instead of a lawn. We'll also have a look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Illinois Senator Barack Obama will make a return trip to Springfield this weekend, speaking at the same location where he launched his presidential campaign. Sean Crawford has more.
The last time Barack Obama stood outside the old state capitol in Springfield, he was a long shot to win the Democratic nomination. But his return will be a triumphant one. Just a couple of days before the Democratic National Convention gets underway in Denver, Obama will likely thank those who were with him from the start. It's possible he might also be traveling with his as-yet-unannounced pick for running mate. Thousands turned out for his presidential launch in February of last year. A huge crowd is also expected for this event. Obama has used the backdrop of the old state capitol while invoking another famous Illinois politician who served in that building, Abraham Lincoln. It's also where Lincoln delivered his famous House Divided speech. That makes it a fitting location for Obama as he tries to bring together a Democratic Party that became divided during a long and historic primary. I'm Sean Crawford.
A state commission considering a plan to close a central Illinois prison expects to hear from dozens of people at a public hearing tonight. Most are expected to tell the commission that closing the 137-year-old Pontiac Correctional Center will devastate the city from which it takes its name. The hearing is at 5 at Pontiac Township High School. Governor Rob Blagojevich wants to close the prison and move the 1,600 inmates to a prison in the western Illinois community of Thompson. The governor says that will save money. But Mayor Scott McCoy says the move will take away Pontiac's second-largest employer. More than 500 people work at the prison. Pontiac is a city of 12,000 residents, about 40 miles northeast of Bloomington. The chancellor of the largest college campus in Illinois isn't keen on the idea of lowering the drinking age. Supporters of the idea include more than 100 presidents and chancellors at universities, including Ohio State and Duke, as reported just a few moments ago in Morning Edition. They say letting states lower the minimum age from 21 to 18 would help colleges teach more responsible drinking. But U of I Urbana campus chancellor Richard Herman wonders if the opposite would happen.
They can see what happens if they change the drinking age to 18 and see what happens behaviorally. Will there be more or less drinking? Will there be more DUIs? I suspect yes. Will there be perhaps more injuries? I don't think that's what I want to encourage.
Herman remembers that a recent unofficial St. Patrick's Day celebration led to a student's traffic death, and he doesn't think allowing more students to drink legally would be productive. One Champaign City councilman thinks lowering the drinking age to 18 is a good idea that's worth discussing. Councilman Tom Bruno called for more debate of the Amethyst Initiative at the close of last night's council meeting. Afterward, Bruno said he agreed with the initiative's argument that keeping the minimum drinking age at 21 prevents teenagers from developing responsible attitudes towards drinking.
Why do countries of just every other continent that doesn't have a 21-year-old drinking law has less of a problem with binge drinking? Maybe it's time for a discussion. Have we done the right thing?
Bruno disputed the argument that lowering the drinking age to 18 would result in more DUI injuries and deaths among teens. He says if 18-year-olds were allowed to drink in responsible settings, they would learn more quickly that intoxication is not the goal. The retiring Illinois Senate president says he may be leaving that position, but he'll remain a player in state politics. Emile Jones earlier this week said he will resign when his term ends this January. Amanda Vinicky spoke with him at the state capitol.
Even as Democratic senators begin to scramble to take over Emil Jones' spot as president, Jones says he's going to remain involved.
I will still be involved, very involved politically. I enjoy what I'm doing.
Specifically, how he'll be involved, Jones didn't say. There's speculation Jones stepped down because of Barack Obama. One theory is if Obama is elected president, Governor Rob Blagojevich would appoint Jones to fill the open U.S. Senate seat. Jones played down that possibility to reporters.
Oh, that's what you're not. That is not. So you keep trying to tie my leaving to it, and you guys shouldn't create those stories.
Another theory is that Jones retired so suggestions of dirty politics wouldn't taint Obama's campaign. Jones, who's known as an old-school Chicago-style politician, is Obama's mentor. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The Illinois Senate took mixed action yesterday on bills during its one-day return to the Capitol. Senators voted against the governor's plan to exempt disabled veterans from paying property taxes. Rob Blagojevich used his veto power to completely rewrite the legislation. The measure was originally intended to deal with one town's taxing status. Senators, including Republican Dan Rutherford of Shenoah, say Blagojevich overstepped his constitutional bounds with the rewrite. Rutherford says allowing veterans to skip paying taxes may be a good idea, but he says it would be a drastic change in policy.
The problem we have here is that we're not dealing with it in a public forum, in a debate, before a committee, with witnesses, testimony, analysis, and actually making a good public policy decision. We're in a political debate here. I understand this is because of veterans and this and that, but we're not doing this as a good public policy process.
Rutherford points out that by giving veterans the tax break, other homeowners' property tax bills would increase. The Senate did follow the House's lead in accepting the governor's rewrite of another measure. That means if veterans between the ages of 26 and 30 want to, they can be covered on their parents' insurance. Illinois law will require insurance companies allow it. The new law also requires companies to provide coverage to all dependents up to the age of 26 and extends health care coverage to college students who have to drop classes because they're sick. However, there are predictions insurance companies will sue to stop the law from taking effect. The city of Champaign is just a couple of months away from launching the next phase of the Boneyard Creek Detention Project. AM580's Jim Meadows has more.
City Manager Steve Carter says the Second Street phase of their efforts to prevent flooding along the Boneyard has had to wait for approval from state and federal agencies. Once the final okay comes from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, he says work can begin on the creek through Scott Park. When completed, the creek on the surface will be supplemented by a storm sewer underground. Then Carter says the Champaign Park District can get to work on renovating Scott Park.
The drainage part of the project should be done over the winter, and so then next spring or next summer, the Park District should be able to bid the actual reconstruction of the park itself.
Also next year, the city plans to start work on the Boneyard from Springfield Avenue north to University Avenue. Two above-ground detention ponds will be built to contain the creek's floodwaters. Last night, the Champaign City Council voted to buy a student apartment building on East Stoughton near the Boneyard for the detention project. That leaves just two parcels of land that the city needs to buy to make the next phase of Boneyard flood control possible. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Many environmentalists knock the suburbs. They don't like how dependent suburbs are on cars. They don't like the sprawl, the large houses, and huge lawns. They think it's a waste of land. Ashley Gross reports one woman is on a campaign to see some of those expansive lawns turned into something a little more productive.
Ever since soldiers returned from World War II, the suburbs have been portrayed as the family-friendly good life.
And so they join the stream of family life in the suburbs, soon to become part of its familiar sights, soon to absorb its familiar sounds.
One of the most familiar sounds is a lawnmower. That noise just grates on Aileen Eilert's nerves. Her goal is to live a more environmentally friendly life in the suburbs. She does have a lawn, but she and her husband are converting much of it to vegetable plots.
So I have some snow peas growing here, and then here's, you know, four tomato plants, and Bruce planted some peppers all the way down here.
Eilert says gardening means she drives less often to the grocery store, and she's not buying produce shipped in from a different continent. That's important to her. Eilert says she decided to use less oil after her nephew was killed in Iraq in 2005.
You know, we're fighting over there, and it was about oil, and so I just thought, I've got to do something. I mean, it's too late for me to do anything about my nephew, and it's sad. He was such a good kid. I'd like it to be where people, oh, we don't need to buy oil from countries that may not be friendly to us or may not be stable.
Eilert is not alone. People in the suburbs are beginning to think about their lifestyles in a different way. Evan McKenzie is a professor at the University of Illinois Chicago. He researches the politics of suburbia.
The stuff that was planned and put in place in the 60s and 70s and even the 80s, I think in some cases is giving way to new ideas. I mean, they're selling and giving away rain barrels in the suburbs so people can collect rainwater to water their plants with and this sort of thing. I never heard of that before.
Not everyone is on board with the environmental movement in the suburbs just yet. Last year, Americans spent almost $11 billion on do-it-yourself lawn care. Aileen Eilert wants to change that. She calls her new campaign Grow Food, Not Lawns. Today she's pulling a plastic wagon loaded with tomato and pepper starter plants. She's headed for the subdivision one block over. Eilert approaches Tim Lakis as he mows his lawn. She gives him a pepper plant. Then comes the pitch.
Lawns actually use a lot of chemicals if you put chemicals on your lawn, and that gets into our water system. Okay. And then also, like, your lawnmower has way more emissions than a car would. Okay. You know, not that I'm saying that.
Okay, I'll look it over.
She does get a couple of strange looks. But Eilert learns pretty quickly there's way more gardening going on here in this neighborhood than she had thought. She'd pegged it as a lawn-addicted wasteland. But this subdivision's residents are kind of green.
I'm just going to assume you use a gas mower.
No, electric.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, you are just the perfect person to talk to today.
I mean, every year I grow my tomatoes and peppers and zucchinis.
Every year I try to get rid of more grass and put in more plants.
Eilert's a little surprised. She even gets a recipe for cooking dandelions. She leaves the subdivision encouraged.
People were concerned and people did think it was a good idea to have gardens, and they'd be willing to maybe do make a little bit more of a sacrifice to make the earth a little bit better.
And this is just the beginning for Eilert's Grow Food, Not Lawns campaign. Next, she wants to get schools to replace some of their lawns with veggies, and maybe get the kids thinking, just a little, about other things they could do. For the Environment Report, I'm Ashley Gross.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly sunny skies, the high 86 today. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, the low 64. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a chance of some showers and thunderstorms, the high 86. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, a few showers and thunderstorms, the low 67. Friday, mostly cloudy, more humid, some showers and thunderstorms possible, the high 87. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, August 20th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.